Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Spits and Suds. We have an exciting one for you. Our NHL and Stars insider, Sean Shapiro, and myself have a lot to talk about today. So we're going to get right to it after we talk to you about the on-time experts. They make Spits and Suds happen. Technically, they also help the Dallas Stars because they are the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars and of Spits and Suds. And if you've been walking around North Texas the last 2 days, man, that humidity is hitting and hitting fast and hard. And therefore, you are hearing your AC go on a lot. I know mine was clicking on a lot more than usual last night, but I have the reassurance that my AC unit is at full efficiency because I took advantage of the on-time experts. They came in, their technician was amazing. Little things like putting the boots on before they walk in your house, those little slipper boots so they don't get any dirt in. Climbed into my attic, spent a ton of time in there, had to climb over my AC unit. It's all part of that $59 first-time customer special where will give you your HVAC unit a complete tune-up. They'll get rid of the dust. They'll get rid of the grime. All these things take years off your life of your HVAC system, and it has to work harder to produce the air you want. Therefore, your energy price goes up. So it's real simple. Get with the on-time experts. They're supporting local hockey and DFW. They also have that $99 first-time customer first floor drain cleaning. And that awesome that your drains are cleaned, your HVAC unit is working well, you're heading into the summer with a smile on your face because of the best town, the on-time experts. Same-day service guaranteed, so you could call them today and they could do both things today, guaranteed. The on-time experts, it's the experts.com. Thank you so much to them for supporting Spits and Suds. Thanks as well to our and Spits and Suds Stars insider Sean Shapiro. He is now officially back from Kelowna, Canada, where he covered the Memorial Cup. And congratulations to the Kitchener Rangers. They beat the Everett Silvertips to win the Memorial Cup. So great articles from Sean, and that is on his Shap Shots Substack. So I'd recommend everyone subscribing to that. I love reading the stuff that Sean puts out. He also as well as magazine, and with Robert Tippett, they have a YouTube channel that is terrific. They had CHL president last week. It is called Algorithmically Incorrect Hockey. And Sean, welcome.
Hey, Gavin, I'm happy to be here. I'm back on Eastern time zone time. So we are but after a good week in Kelowna, after really beautiful place, by the way, if anyone ever wants something for their hockey, if you ever want, anyone wants to ever add anything to their kind of hockey bucket list of travels and places, Kelowna is it's a really cool city, really cool area between. Did some hiking, lake's beautiful, pretty cool area. So I would, if anyone's looking for a place to go watch a hockey game in a community that really supports it, Kelowna's, I would highly suggest Kelowna. So,
you know what I loved about that final game, Sean, is when I was reading about it, knowing that you were coming on and just checking it out, and almost everyone that had anything to do with the scoring from both teams, it would say San Jose prospect, Chicago Blackhawks prospect, like all of the best of the best. And it really does tell the tale of how cool the Memorial Cup and how important it is for the development of these kids that are future stars in the NHL.
Yeah, it's a great tournament, and it was that Kitchener team and that Everett team. A lot of obviously a ton of talent on both those teams, and really a lot. That Kitchener team in particular that won some. There's O'Reilly who got traded, who was is now a member of the Lightning, was traded in the Isaac Howard deal last year, who won the MVP. He might be playing for Tampa next year. Jack Pridham just got for that Kitchener team, just got traded from actually Tampa picked up a couple guys there. But it's just a real, obviously just a fun tournament. Really is. I think the CHL, and if anyone listened to our show last week on Algorithmically Incorrect, we talked to Dan McKenzie from the CHL. I know there's a lot of like fear and consternation right now about the state of things for junior hockey, and people talk about what's going to happen or not happen with where players go with the new NCAA rules and everything. But I think there's change, but I think the CHL is always going to be in a good spot. It's going to just be evolved a little bit, and hockey's really good. It's the competition's really good. I don't know if anyone, I know you watched that game on Sunday, Gavin. It's,
yeah.
There is, in my mind, it's very hard to, it's hard to watch junior hockey and not be entertained, right? Like obviously Absolutely. The NHL is the best league in the world and everything like that. But the reality is, you know what? Junior hockey is, there's so much chaos and so much chaos and so much kind of just the way the game flows back and forth. Like just from a pure entertainment standpoint,
uh-huh.
The major junior hockey is one of the most exciting products there is to go watch and enjoy as a fan. I was actually, I was talking to someone who works for Kitchener, who works as a scout for the Rangers. I was talking to him after the tournament, and obviously he watches so many games in a professional capacity and everything like that. But it was, he kind of said just obviously with the Rangers flew all of their scouts out for that championship game. And he said, just being able to sit and watch and enjoy a game as a fan is just such a rare treat and something like that, that it kind of takes you back to why we all do this in the first place. So a good anecdote there.
Absolutely. And Sean's article is up on Elite Prospects. It still doesn't feel real. Kitchener, it's dominant run. Memorial Cup championship. And as Sean witnessed, the other thing that I try to tell people is don't take for granted the hockey's quality. Remember the barn as well, because you know when you go to these junior leagues, one of the cool things is the lower ceilings. And the lower ceilings, the closeness of the crowd really just brings an intimacy, but also like a pretty good pop. From the crowd, specifically when you have like a final like you did on Sunday. So I always say, like, enjoy the intimacy of a smaller barn.
Yeah. You don't get to, like, if you are and obviously we have such a large Dallas-based audience here, Gavin, so I know that's the but, like, just think about if you've had the opportunity to go see a game in Cedar Park, if you've had an opportunity to maybe even haven't gone, if maybe you watched U18s when they were there, there's something special about watching the game up close that while the crowd is great and I love a large building that's filled and everything like that, there's something special about watching the game up close that I really enjoy being in the building for. So it's something that if you can go see high level hockey in a 4,000 to 5,000 seat building, there's not many things better than that, just from being able to just experience it in the way the sound bounces and everything. So
absolutely. And you know, we have what's called the NAHL, the NAHL right here in North Texas. So you can go see the Brahmas, and that's a pretty intimate barn as well. And that out locally. I'm excited when they come back to check that out. All right. Let's thank Sean for going to the Memorial Cup, because listen, we're all about expanding the great game of hockey. This program, I know it's Stars based, and we're about to dive into the saga of Jason Robertson. However, I hope people understand, and I just want to make this disclaimer, that we do this for a reason, because to me, it's all about the education and Sean's travels. I've been following and I've really enjoyed the ride. So hopefully you're enjoying the ride as well. All right. On to stars, and interesting how sport can blow up social media, Sean. From Frank Saravelli regarding Robertson and Starks, they're looking for, I believe, something in that $14 million a year range. So when he said that, Sean, all of a sudden, I feel thousands of GMs on Twitterverse went to work and my notifications went to work. And I thought it was really fascinating. In all your years covering, is this one of those things where you're like, okay, wait and see, or how much credence you put into that Jason Robertson, you know, wants that $14 million?
I believe Jason wants $14 million. I believe that. I also think that's the smart ask and opening position from his agent and everything. I also think there's the reality of, if Mikko Rantanen wasn't able to get $14 million from, now obviously Jason's potentially an RFA, so a little bit different than what Mikko Rantanen was in season, but it's probably going to be similar. I think there's this feels like a carbon copy of the Mikko Rantanen deal. He wanted, and now obviously there's been some disputes going on before between what did and didn't happen with him and the Avalanche and everything like that. And we also probably should have a quick conversation, Gavin, about the fascinating development of the Predators now interviewing Avalanche GM Chris McFarland for their job.
I was going to bring that up. Yes.
Yeah. Fascinating development there. It feels so much like the Rantanen deal to me, where it's going to be, that number is going to be out there, 14, whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to, Robertson's market value and what he's actually able to get is going to be closer to the 12 or 12 and a half. And we've seen this cycle go on a couple times, right? Just like how there's always, I kind of laugh, right? Like, and I don't want to say people don't chatter and it's not fun, but like, how often do we go to draft day? I mean, I'll be at the draft in a couple weeks from now. I'm headed to the combine on Thursday this week. But how often on draft day do we go into the draft day? We hear about, oh, there's a lot of movement. This team could move this team could move that. And then it never happens, right? Yeah. Like it never happens. And so I just, this Robertson deal to me is way more of the, that's a starting point for negotiation. And that's where you go. 'Cause you come and ask for 12, all of a sudden you're getting the counter is really going to be you're going to get countered to 11 or whatever. Right. So, but as we go through this, if Jason Robertson is signing for more than 12 and a half somewhere, I'll be really surprised. I think that's the way this is going to evolve. And that's not as exciting as, that's not an exciting number compared to, that's not a big sexy social media number like 14 and a half million. Just like I saw last week, obviously Emily Kaplan reports a story that, hey, and I'm not saying, Emily reports that, hey, the Stars and Robertson's camp are getting closer, potentially getting something done. I'm not disagreeing. But that's like, this has all kind of been status quo. I mean, Jim Nill has told me, ironically enough, Gavin, I think I talked to you about this in person all the way back in September, because I sat down with Jim in Frisco during the prospect tournament, and there was a very, and then you and I were watching the game afterwards for a little bit.
Yep.
There's a lot of unexciting parts about this. There's obviously fun potential and fodder and story and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the Jason Robertson saga isn't a saga. It's a negotiation of how you get things done. And I will be very surprised, honestly, if he's not a member of the Stars and not signed for 8 years within the next 26 days.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do some quick hitting fun then, because, you know, I mean, listen, this is a show of the people. And when they throw things out, I thought this was a good chance for him to answer this, because we're saying, what about Robertson to Detroit for Moritz Seider? And I almost wanted to back and say, and wow, A, does Detroit want to do that? And B, do you know how good Seider is? So I go to the person that also covers the Detroit Red Wings so well. Sean, I mean, if I'm Steve Yzerman, I don't think I pull the trigger on that. What do you think?
I think the and would be on the opposite one. It would be, yes, Jason Robertson and for Moritz Seider. Like, I mean, Moritz Seider's a top five or six defensive, top exactly, five or six player, defensive player in the league. And that's harder to find than it is a scoring winger. So like, if you were to talk about a Detroit Dallas trade involving Jason Robertson, it's probably a forward for a forward. And then maybe there's an add on going one way or the other. But I mean, I think Mo Seider is the foundation and future of the Red Wings. That's not happening.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So friend Jim Harper, north of the border, Harper hockey fan who's such a diehard Spits and Suds listener. We appreciate you, Jordan. He said podcast topic idea, and it was interesting because there was a lot of stuff thrown out. But he said, guys, has anyone posted a mock robo trade that has piqued your or Sean's interest? He tagged both of us. I think the only one I've seen is robo for Adam Fox. So I say to you, Sean, is there one that has made you pause and say, well, A, I don't think Robertson's leaving, but if he did, that's not bad.
Yeah. There hasn't been many, like, just to be honest, right? Like, there haven't been many there's been very few that are both that hit the barrier, hit the line of being A, realistic, and B, something, being realistic, and then B, a return that improves the Stars, right? Like, I struggle to, the only way for the Stars, and it's hard to lay out this reality. And I want to be very clear. I don't think the Stars lost the Mikko Rantanen in training. It's people sometimes see Logan Stankoven playing in the Stanley Cup final. And then it's like, I think that's a win that trade, the way everything kind of played out. But it would have to be, Dallas would have to kind of look from the kind of the way that Carolina looked at things, where they moved Mikko Rantanen, and when they did, they obviously got Logan Stankoven in, but then, and this is a full credit to Eric Tolsky and the job he's done, it set up the next shoe to drop for the Nikolaj Ehlers signing, right? Which was a big signing, and obviously has them in the Cup final starting tonight. So the problem for Dallas for me is I don't see that second shoe being lined up well enough. I don't see the certainty of a second shoe lined up that makes your team better. Like, if you were to be able to go and tell me, hey, we trade Jason Robertson and then we get Maverick Bork signed for, I don't know, get Maverick Bork signed long-term for $6 million per term or something like that, and then we use that $6 million on player X, I don't know if there's a player X that's good enough in my mind the way that Carolina went and got an Ehlers or something like that. That's the thing I struggle with on this.
Yeah, yeah. And for instance, like, you know, I was thinking about San Jose. They have 2-20 in the first round. The issue is that the Stars window is now. And you don't know if 2-20, I mean, maybe two will play in the NHL, but you don't know that for a fact. And this could take a year or two. And as we've all seen over the years, first rounders, even at the top of the first round, while the guarantee is higher, it certainly is not a full guarantee that these players are going to pan out as well. So I thought that was, really, really interesting. All right. So you are in the camp that Jason Robertson is fully in the next 26 days going to sign with Dallas.
There's Jim Nela will look at all options, and like no one would have expected Miko Rantanen. No one would have expected Miko Rantanen to be signed and everything like that. No one would have expected the Stars to trade for Miko Rantanen. So you got to keep things open for kind of that perspective of yes, anything can happen. But I think the reality is there's very few scenarios that outside of the truly creative and outside the box that don't get something done in before the draft, in my view. And I think if something's not done before the draft, I think that's going to be more reflective of the fact of that means a trade would involve some heavy draft capital but that's a really nuclear option that I don't expect.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about something fascinating, specifically since Bruce Cassidy still is not allowed to talk to anybody. And on those heels, we have an article from Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet that the Nashville Predators, as you mentioned, Sean, have been granted permission to speak to Avalanche GM Chris McFarland. So I guess according to sources, the biggest question is what will McFarland's title, role, and offer be? So I'm fascinated by this because this is a major position in the division that is changing. And so I guess my question is Colorado not happy with McFarland? Is McFarland not happy with Colorado? Is there compensation involved? These things get done and, you know, going to ownership and asking permission to talk to essentially a division rival.
So here's what I do know about this, because this is we've heard the rumblings about this for a little bit. And I heard some of these things actually. There was some chatter about this at Memorial Cup as well. So obviously Elliot was the first person to kind of, it almost felt like a poorly kept secret, honestly, where it was kind of like if you were at Memorial Cup, it was kind of, and you're speaking to hockey people, including GMs and assistant GMs from other teams, and this is not a hidden secret. And so from my understanding on this, for the Colorado, from the Nashville perspective, I know that there's no, it's technically they're not supposed to talk to them until they have permission and all of this and everything like that. But from my understanding, the deal is already done. Like I believe that McFarland is already gone. I believe he's going to take a president of hockey operations position with Nashville. And that promotion / the money involved with that title promotion are the reason that this is happening. And I think that's the only reason McFarland A has been granted permission and why he would be interested in it, because it's a promotion. It's the chance to run a whole thing. And while he is the GM in Colorado and has been part of a Stanley Cup winning team there, it is still Joe Sakic's. So still Joe Sack, everything goes through Joe Sakic still as far as big vision at the end of the day. So I get why it's happening. And from a Colorado perspective, kudos to them and their ownership group of same policy the Stars have. If someone can interview for a better permission, better position, higher money, more promotion, you let them go do it. So it's very opposite of what Vegas is doing. And it's different and unique and it might create a little bit of a rivalry, obviously, between Nashville and Colorado on some things. But as awkward as it might sound, it's something you would want. You would want the shoe on the other foot right? Like if you're Colorado and let's play a falling game here. I know Scott White has, for example, been interviewed for a potential GM role with the Nashville Predators, right? So it's hypothetically speaking here, Chris McFarland leaves Colorado and Colorado has a GM opening and say Scott White was your target as Colorado. Would you want Dallas to give you the same grace of, hey, we're going to let people move up to a higher role, even if it's within the division. So it's a fascinating dynamic with all of this. Also one that is kind of like, it was one of the reasons we heard about the reasons this Nashville search was going on for so long was because somebody was involved. One of their top candidate was somebody who was still involved with the playoff team. And obviously a lot of people thought that was an assistant GM. And it really was actually the GM of one of the final four teams.
Wow. Pretty fascinating. And did it take you by surprise that the Avalanche put off their end of season Jared Bednar press conference? Because that had the Twitterverse rumbling as well.
Well, you and I apparently set off the Twitterverse when I made a suggestion that they should hire David Carl. which is a whole nother thing, right? Because, and then obviously David's name surfaced illegitimately in that Toronto thing when people were talking about, like, it's kind of the funny like sports media thing we're in right now, Gavin, where we have to kind of clarify better oftentimes when we do this stuff of like, and I think I appreciate you kind of helping me on this when we talk about what are fun ideas and what's reported, because I think obviously the line has kind of been the line has evolved quite a bit for that with how readers kind of consume things, and especially in kind of the aggregationish of the world. So it's an interesting spot for all of that. It's interesting. One thing that I'm really interested that I want to throw out, just have people thinking about, is just this shows, because we like to talk about stuff in the wider hockey world, Gavin, is I think it's worth bringing up and to look like a smart hockey fan. And we were talking about Memorial Cup earlier and everything like that. There's the, I'm a firm believer that I don't know if he'll get a job, but I think UC Ahoka is the coach of the Kitchener Rangers. He's a Finn. I wrote a long feature about him on Saturday over at Elite Prospects.
Bring that up. Yep.
Yeah. Like he's someone who I hope he's someone who between some of the openings right now, and I know Manny Malhotra is getting the job in Vancouver, but obviously there's that opening in Toronto. He's someone who is probably, if you're a smart hockey fan, you should kind of circle him in your list of future coaches who want to get to the NHL. And I think that's to get back to the David Carl thing, if you'll allow me to for a second, Gavin.
Yeah.
The David Carl thing is, I think David Carl has to be wooed to the NHL. He has been very public and publicly and privately talked about how loyal he is to Denver. And I know there's been some frustration at Denver where the rumors of him potentially leaving have actually hurt Denver's recruiting at times. And I know he's pushed back against that for many reasons. On the flip side, Ahokas, who just won at Kitchener, very clear, very open with me about how, and everyone, how he wants to get to the NHL. Same thing with the GM of his team. The GM of his team, Mike McKenzie, is actually Bob McKenzie's son, should also be an NHL option at some point.
That's fascinating too, because I've seen the NBA start to do it as well. Like international coaches can bring a lot to the table.
Yeah. And like, I think there's the whole, like from an NBA perspective, I don't know, you know, this a little bit better than I, one failure by an international coach often leads to an entire like referendum on everyone, which is not fair.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think it was, at one point the Cavs hired like, what was it, like David Blatt or something like that, who was
only not last year.
And then really tanked. And I think that's something that I hope North American coach fails. It's not a referendum on North American coaches. A European coach fails. All of a sudden there's a, there's a, this represents everyone, which really isn't fair.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Hey, let's end on this because we've talked about GMs and people moving up. I hope people don't, this doesn't come from a biased perspective. I think it just comes from a realistic perspective. Is that, you know, I see the success of the Stars. I see the success of the Stars development program. And it is a bit surprising to me. I'm glad Scott White was getting interviews. And I do think, and I'm glad Jim Nill specifically pointed out in one of his press conferences, there should be no surprise that he's getting interviews. Because what he's done with Texas and Dallas has been tremendous. We give our stick taps and props to Scott White on this program, deservedly so. But the three names, Scott White, Rich Peverly, Mark Janko, I'm surprised that more teams aren't looking at Dallas to look to pluck that game plan that has been very successful here.
Well, Rich Peverly, I don't think there's a coincidence that Rich Peverly got the AGM job
when
there was other AGM jobs opening up, right? I do think that's part of it. I do think there's definitely that. I'm honestly surprised Scott White has not gotten attention earlier than he should have. And Mark Janko is someone who I don't think he should be precluded from GM conversations, but he's someone who probably needs a little bit more of that running a direct department right now. Because I think when you look at different AGMs, there's various kind of levels of it, right? Like Jenks is more of the cap guy, and a lot of teams already have that. Typically, if you're looking for someone to be a GM, they kind of have to kind of run a department or run something a little bit bigger picture, like someone runs the draft or the way Scott White runs player development, basically, with the AHL team. So I am honestly surprised that Scott White has not gotten opportunities or been talked about earlier. To me, it's been quite surprising.
He is the greatness of Sean Shapiro. Follow him on Twitter/X, and you can see all the great work he's doing in the sport of hockey. You know, you can see his Memorial Cup coverage, and you can go read some terrific articles from the Memorial Cup that we've talked about today. At Sean Shapiro on Twitter/X. And reminder to subscribe to his Substack if you're not already subscribed. If you are a subscriber, thank you so much. And that Substack is called Capshots. Also writes D Magazine. And tomorrow he will have a very good episode of our teammates and Sean's teammates, Robert Tiffin, Algorithmically Incorrect Hockey. So let's get those subscribers up because it is free to subscribe. So if you have a YouTube, just go on there and hit that subscribe button and let's help two of our buddies out. Sean, this was a good one, man. We had a lot of topics to discuss. We got through it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun, Gavin. And as a quick teaser, I won't tell you who, but we talked about Denver and college hockey and David Carl, and it's not David Carl, but we do have a guest tomorrow that can speak a little bit about David Carl in certain ways. So that's my tease for you on that one tomorrow.
I have not pressed you, but every single time I have you on before this YouTube show, I just won't ask you. So thank you for that tease. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yes, that's the tease, Gavin. I appreciate it, man. We'll do this again later in the week, and we'll do it from I'm flying to Buffalo Thursday morning for the combine. So we'll do it from the Kelowna of Western New York, I guess, later in the week.
That's a nice way of putting it.
It is a very nice way to describe Buffalo. So
that's a great way to end it. He is Sean Shapiro. Please support Sean, and thank you to the On Time Expert, also to producer Gregory Finley, and thank you for your support of Spits and Suds. Tell everyone out there there's a program doing some pretty cool off-season content, and it's called Spits and Suds. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.